On behalf of my wife, Chris, and myself, I'd like to thank you all for coming here, and we certainly enjoy this day. It's a highlight of the year. In fact, we'll start planning for retreat number 7 tomorrow. And we're very happy to have you here. We'd like also to extend an invitation to those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tape. We're going to be looking at one verse in Psalm 22, so you may want to open your Bibles to Psalm 22. And for those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tape, we are holding our services this week on a Saturday. It's the 20th of September, and we're in beautiful Perot State Park, which is located just north of La Crosse. And we meet here once every year. We call it a kind of a nature retreat. And we come from different parts of the area. Some are from Minnesota. We had people from Michigan. A lot of them from Wisconsin. All having this thing in common that we love the Word of God and want to grow in grace. And we usually meet here in the morning and have a nature hike, hiking high up on top of the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi River, some 520 feet. We all made it up, I think, today, most of us at least. And we're still in good shape. We're not too tired. And we come down and have a Bible study during the afternoon. We looked at Psalm 91. And now we're concluding the day with looking at Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is a very, very amazing piece of Holy Scripture. It was written 1,000 years about before the crucifixion, and yet it shows us some of the very things that took place when the Son of God was nailed to the cross. The opening words, for example, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are the words, the very words that Jesus spoke when he was hanging on the cross. And they're found in Psalm 22, verse 1. Or you look at verse 16, the last part of that verse. They pierced my hands and my feet, telling the very way that the Lord of life was going to be crucified. And then verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture, foretelling that the Roman soldiers, as they stood at the foot of the cross, were divvying up the booty. But perhaps the most shocking verse is verse 6. The first part of verse 6, where the Lord Jesus says, I am a worm and no man. Here in our nature retreat, we have looked at different things in what we call the volume of nature that teach us something mainly about Jesus Christ. And we compare a page from the volume of nature with what Holy Scripture says. And we've looked at things like the beautiful hills around Jerusalem. We've looked at eagles. We've looked at last year the monarch butterfly. This year we're going to look at a worm, a little worm, but not just any kind of worm. It's called the scarlet worm. This is an amazing little creature. And we relate it to what Jesus said in verse 6 of Psalm 22, I am a worm and no man. Now, what did he mean by that? Now, we can understand him comparing himself to a lion or comparing himself to an eagle that flies high in the sky, but how can he compare himself to a worm? What did he mean by that? Maybe Isaiah gives us a little hint in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, where he says, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Or maybe in the previous chapter, verse 14, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. That when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, it was just a horrible, horrible, ugly sight. There was no beauty there at all. It was just gory blood and death. Nothing that you and I would want by nature. Maybe that's a little bit of what the Lord meant when he said, I am a worm and no man. But there's more here than that. There are five different Hebrew words that are translated worm in the King James Bible. And the word that's used here in Psalm 22 is not an ordinary worm. It's a very specific kind of worm that is called the scarlet worm. And in fact, this very same word that is translated worm here in Psalm 22 verse 6 is translated scarlet 27 times in the Old Testament in the King James Version. Why is it translated scarlet? Because this worm gave off a fluid that the ancient people used to make scarlet dye. And so when we look at the words of Jesus here, I am a worm. One way we can get at this is to look up the word scarlet in a concordance, because it's the very same word. And we look up the word scarlet and see some of the passages in which it's used. There's a telling passage in Matthew, chapter 27, verse 28. And I'm going to read this to you, and immediately you're going to know what the context of it is. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. That's the Roman soldiers. And this is right before Jesus was crucified. They decided that they were going to have a little fun. And they said, you know, this guy says he's a king. Well, let's make him a crown. So they took a crown of thorns and stuck that on his head. And then they had a scarlet robe. I don't know where they got that. But they took his own robe off of him and they put this scarlet robe on him. Now, you know what color scarlet is. What a sight that must have been. Now, the word scarlet is used in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. And this gives us a real insight into this word. Chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to the words of God here, Isaiah 1, 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet. So the color scarlet is a representative of sin. Now these Roman soldiers didn't even begin to know the meaning of what they were doing. But you see, Jesus had a garment of righteousness. The garments are kind of like a picture of a man's life. He didn't have any sin at all. And the Romans took his own garment off, and they took this scarlet garment on, which is a picture of sin, and they put that on him. And then they took it off and put his own clothes on him. But at that moment that he was wearing the scarlet robe, what he was saying is that, you know, I'm taking your sins, and I'm putting them on myself. And remember, that word scarlet in the Old Testament is the very same word that is translated worm in Psalm 22. I am a worm and no man. It's a Hebrew word, toloth. It means scarlet. There happens to be a lot more, though. A lot more. And it comes out when you look at the life cycle of the scarlet worm. It's an almost unbelievable picture of the crucifixion. The mother worm, just before she gives birth to her young, fastens herself to a tree. And she fastens herself to that tree so hard that she's never going to leave it. She's going to die there. We could almost say she nails herself to the tree. And then she gives birth to her young. And during the next days, she is nourishment to her young. She's protection to her young. And they grow on this tree with her. And then, when they're growing up and ready to leave, the mother dies. And when she dies, the scarlet fluid comes out of her body. It covers her own body, it covers the bodies of her little ones, and it dyes scarlet the part of the tree that she's hanging on. The volume of nature. What a picture this is. Little wonder Christ said, I am a worm. I am the scarlet worm. I am the one that nails myself to the tree and gives my lifeblood for my children. Exactly what he's talking about. Foreshadowed way back in Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. The harlot Rahab. There were two spies that Joshua sent in to Jericho right before the children of Israel were going to attack. And these spies were being pursued, and they came to the house of Rahab, and she hid them. In faith, she hid him. And then she pleaded for her life. Listen to what they told her. I'm in chapter 2, verse 18 and following. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. They gave her a scarlet thread. Remember, the word scarlet here is the same word as is translated worm in Psalm 22. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. But whoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand come upon him. That was the agreement then. We'll give you this scarlet thread. You hang it in the window. When we come in and destroy the city, we'll see that scarlet thread. Whoever is in the house with you is going to be safe. Whoever's outside the house is done. Perish. It's the same thing, isn't it, that they did down in Egypt during the Passover night. When God told them, take the blood of a lamb, smear it over your doorposts, and when the angel of death passes through at night and he sees the blood on the doorpost, he'll know that death has already struck there. He'll pass over that house. If there's blood, you're safe. If there isn't, you're done. The angel of death strikes. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it is. Now, there's another telling passage where the word scarlet is used. It's in Proverbs chapter 31. You might want to look at that. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10, describes a virtuous woman. And you can look at this in different ways. But one of the ways you look at it is this, that this virtuous woman is the bride of Jesus Christ. And it describes her and what she does and how she lives. And in verse 21, listen to what it says about this virtuous woman. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In Scripture, snow and cold sometimes refers to God's judgment. And scarlet, that's the same word that's translated worm. I am a worm. And it has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ covering you and covering me. This woman is not afraid of the judgment for her children. Why not? Why isn't she afraid for them when they appear before the judgment seat of God? She's not afraid for them because she's clothed them with scarlet. The mom and dad have taught their little ones Scripture. They've taught them about their Savior. And these little ones are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven. She doesn't have to be afraid of them when they come to the judgment. That's the picture here. And it all gets back to the crucifixion, doesn't it? But I am a worm and no man. In the Song of Solomon, Jesus is talking to his bride. And he says, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. There, the very words that she speaks are talked about as speaking about my word, my love for you, my forgiveness for you. It all gets back to Jesus Christ. There's an amazing verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. It goes this way. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, he made peace through the blood of his cross. But it didn't come cheaply, did it? The price was very, very high. He had to be nailed there. He had to die there. And you know, there are three kinds of crosses that you and I carry. There are some crosses that if we just wait long enough, time will take care of. The crosses will go away. There are other crosses that we can pray to God about if it's his will to take them away, and he will. But then there's a third kind of cross, a cross that you and I are going to die on. A cross is an instrument of death, and that's exactly what it was for Jesus Christ. But it was more than that, wasn't it? It was also a symbol of life. One dying so that the others might live. A beautiful foreshadowing in Psalm 22, verse 6. But I am a worm, a scarlet worm.